And we are shifting gears a little bit here as John Fossum, our Rice County attorney, sits in studio with us. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeff.
Thank you so much for being patient with us as we have kind of a backlog of guests today.
Yeah, this is a busy place here.
Yeah, sharp young people, though. You have a couple of things that we want to talk about, discuss here today. First of all, it's not every day that, you know, some charges of murder actually come across the desk, your desks, probably more often than you'd care to have, but nevertheless, that happened just in the past week or so with an incident down in Faribault. Tell us about that and what you can.
Well, what happened is we had a couple, and they were, the version of events that we have is that he had come home from work, and they had used some cocaine, and they started arguing about getting more cocaine. The argument got a little bit violent, and the woman wound up stabbing him in the chest and a couple of more times besides, and that's kind of where we are. The argument, you know, the claim was this was self-defense. I think the extra wounds kind of argue against self-defense, which is why we've charged with murder. I think the important thing to remember about this is we're kind of 7 days into this investigation. This happened on Friday, and these are complex things. We have a lot of information yet to collect. We have a lot of evidence that needs to be tested by the BCA. So this is a case that's going to be going on for a while. And we have a lot of information we still need to kind of pull together and figure out where we are.
Now, it sounds like the basic facts of this case are basically laid out. I mean, has she actually said, yes, I stabbed him after, you know, he was trying to beat me? Or there's no question about who stabbed who.
Right. There's no question about who stabbed who. And there's no question about the murder weapon or how it was used. The only question is, was it self-defense or wasn't it? And that's where we are at the moment. We're still really kind of working out where we're going to wind up going with this case. These are big, serious cases, and they are complex. And there's only two people who were present, and only one of them is around to give us their version of the story. So we need to really carefully evaluate the evidence and determine where to go from there.
In a case like this, kind of walk us through that. My guess is the event happened. Somebody called 911. The police came out there, did their preliminary investigation. They turned it over to you. Does the police or do the county sheriff, I'm not sure who was involved in this particular case, continue on with that investigation? Do they turn everything over to the BCA or to...
Well, the Faribault Police Department responded to the scene. Mm-hmm. They found the victim, Mr. Bongers, was stabbed in the chest and bleeding and got him medical attention. Unfortunately, the medical attention wasn't able to help him, and he died at District 1 Hospital. And so they began their investigation. They interviewed the woman, Ms. Williams, and began their investigation. They called in the BCA to come in and review the scene, collect the evidence, and provide the testing of the evidence, because again, this is a big case. It's a big, important case, and it's important for us to have good evidence that's well processed and make sure that's all professionally done, and not that the Faribault Police can't do that or the Rice County Sheriffs can't do that, but sometimes there's an extra level of scrutiny that is necessary and is appropriate for a big case. And so the BCA was able to be on scene and process the evidence. And the thing is that with forensic evidence, it takes a while. It's not like TV. It doesn't happen over the commercial break. It takes a while to really kind of carefully evaluate things. We need the medical examiner's report. We need a lot of other information to make sure where we're going with the case and make sure we really can put together the story in a way that makes sense to everyone.
So the woman that was involved in this has been... was arrested. She was charged. Is she now in jail? Is she out of jail? Or
she's in jail. Okay. She was sentenced for a violating a no-contact order against the victim in, mm-hmm. in our case, Mr. Bongers. She was sentenced on that case back in August. And so, you know, there's a history between the two of them in terms of what happens and what has happened between them. So there's a lot to kind of consider and evaluate in a case, in this case, and in any case like this where we have a person who was killed. And as you said, it's not something we deal with every day, luckily. But there's, you know, we've had a couple of murder cases since I've been Rice County attorney, and I assume that more will come along at some point. But luckily, we don't see it very often. And so we take it seriously, we take it carefully, and we just try and make sure that we're performing our function and carefully evaluating all the evidence and talking to the police and talking to the to make sure that we're looking at all the angles and fully evaluating the case.
All right. Once again, Rice County Attorney John Fossum is with us. John, let's talk about another case that was recently in yesterday's actually edition of the Northfield News, and I believe the Faribault Daily News. It was about a police officer involved in Faribault and filing some litigation against the county and the city of Faribault. Are you familiar with that? Does that involve your office?
Yes, and of course, because it's litigation, I can't talk about the specifics mm-hmm. of that case. But
sure.
What I'll tell you is that the it's an important and difficult issue that we struggle with in terms of how we evaluate evidence and how we disclose evidence and make sure that we're finding the case. And the reason it's called a lot of people call it Brady issues. And it comes from a case, Brady versus Maryland, which was back in 1963, which said that that the prosecution has to disclose its evidence to the defense. Since that time, in the 55 years since Brady, there have been a lot of other cases that go into specifics as to what you have to disclose and where you find it. And so there's a lot of obligations that we as prosecutors have to disclose evidence, and that includes information that we might know about that impeaches our own witnesses, that says our witnesses might have information in their background that a jury would need to hear in evaluating their credibility. So if we know about that information, the case law says we have to disclose it. And there's actually a long, I've drafted a memo on it for my staff when I came into office back in 2015, and we've published it on our website, and it goes into detail, the Brady versus Maryland, Giglio, all of the cases that have interpreted those Brady issues and talked about the things, different things we have to disclose. And the case law also says it's not enough for us to disclose the stuff that we have in our file. We have to go looking to make sure that there is another stuff that we need to disclose. And so we go, you know, we try very hard to meet those obligations. And from my standpoint, it's a constitutional obligation that I have to give the defense a fair trial. And we've instituted our policies, or I've instituted my policies, to try and make sure that I'm complying with those obligations, the constitutional obligation to a fair trial. And this lawsuit is based on a one theory of it, and our theory is that if we have information, we can't withhold it, and that's why that's kind of what we'll be arguing about in that case, I guess.
And that, so let me see if I have this right, and how that relates to this particular case. There was some information about the officer that was involved that you feel that you had to disclose, and the officer didn't like that or didn't want you to. Do I have that correct?
That's the basic,
very basic,
yeah. allegations of the case.
Okay.
And so, again, the specifics of it I can't get into with you, but it's a, you know, it's a serious situation, and the argument is that we shouldn't disclose the information about it, and our position is that we have to.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I don't do this for fun. I do it because the Constitution and the case law tells me that I have to.
All right. And that right now is just at the point, the case is just at the point where the lawsuit has been filed.
There's been a lawsuit filed. We filed an answer. They've sued out against, they filed a lawsuit against both us and the city of Faribault. And the part that involves my office says I can't. They want an injunction. Basically, they're not seeking money, but they want an injunction to say that we can't disclose the information. And our position is still that the case law, the Constitution requires us to disclose it, and that's why we are where we are, I guess.
All right. And the case that this involves, that you did have to disclose that, is that still ongoing then as well, I'm presuming? Or
no.
Okay. All right, we'll leave it at that. I know there's only a certain amount. I don't want to push you into a corner anywhere. But
thank you.
Is there anything else that you'd like to mention while we have you in here, John?
Well, obviously, we've got a lot going on. Our drug court continues to bring in new folks. We had a graduation recently, and so things are going well in terms of that. Our task force is incredibly busy. My office has gone from a part-time prosecutor for drug cases to now one full-time prosecutor handling drug cases and one prosecutor handling drug cases part-time. So we've been very busy with that. When I came into office, we had a part-time prosecutor, or one lawyer who did juveniles and also did child protection cases, and now that lawyer only does the child protection cases because the child protection cases are so busy. So we have a crowded docket. We have a lot of work to do, and we're continuing to keep up with it. I have a great staff who's doing good work and keeping up with really a lot of demands that we and the work has placed on them.
I would go into a conversation about the appropriate funding for all of these things, but we probably, I'm sure you have to get to work at some time today. Is there enough money to go around, though?
Well, you know, the county board has done a good job in terms of giving us an opportunity to meet those obligations, and we added a lawyer this year in part because of all of these demands. Because the caseloads continue to increase and the workload continues to increase, and so we're not seeking more funding for next year. We're just seeking to stay where we are now. But there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of stuff that gets packed into the court system.
Mm. Well, John, we want to wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes and being with us this morning. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Mm. Rice County Attorney John Fossum.